Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio. I'm Teresa Chung, dream decoder, spiritual growth expert, and your guide to the hidden wisdom of your inner world. Each week, we explore how your nighttime dreams, daydreams, and waking intuitions hold powerful messages for healing, insight, manifesting, and personal transformation. Even just by listening each week, you'll start tuning in more deeply to your own inner voice, waking up with greater clarity, purpose, a sense of connection to the invisible strings in your life, and dreams and gratitude for them on your mind. So join me weekly, live or on demand, and just like a dream, expect the unexpected. Hello, everyone, and a beautifully dreamy new year to you all. I'm Teresa, dream researcher, best-selling author of The Dream Dictionary A to Z, and your guide for this hour into the extraordinary intelligence of your inner psychic. If you'd like to explore more about my numerous dream decoding titles, you can find me at www.teresachung.com. And if nonfiction isn't your thing, check out my debut thriller novel, Nightborn, which is a subliminal crash course in dream decoding when you are wide awake. Now, we're stepping into a number one year in numerology, the year of new beginnings, fresh starts, and bold resets. There could not be a more powerful moment to reconnect with your intuition by day and your dreams by night. This is the year to listen more deeply, trust yourself more fully, and consciously create what comes next. I hope you've already started writing down your dreams every morning, because the first dreams of the new year are believed to set the tone for the months ahead, offering insight into what's coming, what's possible, and what may need your loving attention. In Japan, auspicious new year dreams are called Hatsuyumi. Whether your first dream was vivid or vague, joyful or unsettling, light or dark, it may be carrying a personal message just for you, a gentle encouragement, or perhaps a clear signpost inviting you to course correct. Because remember, the future is not fixed. It's being created in every moment by the choices you make right now in both your waking and dreaming reality. And speaking of dreams coming true, I'm busy doing my reality checks right now, because later in the show, I'll be welcoming, hopefully, to UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio network, the truly visionary force in the world that is Marianne Williamson. But before that, I'm absolutely over the moon to welcome a lucid dreaming superstar, someone perfectly aligned with this New Year energy of radical self-honesty, intention setting, and the real transformational healing power of your dreams. Joining us today is Charlie Morley. He is internationally known for his groundbreaking lucid dreaming teaching. He is the author of several acclaimed books, including Dreams of Awakening, Lucid Dreaming Made Easy, and Wake Up to Sleep. His work uniquely blends ancient Buddhist dream practices with modern neuroscience, making lucid dreaming both accessible and deeply transformative. Charlie is also a longtime practitioner of Tibetan Buddhism and a co-founder of the Mindfulness of Dream and Sleep Institute, where he trains people to use lucid dreaming for emotional healing, creativity, and spiritual growth. Charlie, welcome to the healing power of your dreams and UK Health Radio. You kind of embody that, don't you, with your life and work and teaching the healing power of dreams?
I hope so. It's interesting you say that. I'm not sure how strong my dream practice is at the moment, having a 9-month-old baby. But generally, when I'm not waking several times in the night to do bottle feeds and nappy changes, yeah, I feel deeply connected to my dreams. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you said that, because one of the challenges of dream work is the discipline of writing them down. And of course, becoming a new father, that's probably the last thing on your mind when you wake up, your dreams.
It's so interesting. I have to kind of log them, because I'm waking because, the baby's crying, Nova's crying. So I'll kind of log them in my mind. So it's quite good for kind of my memory work. And then I'll do all the nappy changes. And then kind of over breakfast, when I'm feeding Nova, then I'll start typing up my dreams into my phone. So yeah, you just need to kind of shift it to a slightly different part of your life, but it is still doable.
And are you dreaming of nappies? Or are your dreams taking you somewhere far away?
I'm not dreaming of nappies, but I am dreaming that in my dream, my baby Nova can speak. So the last 3 nights I've dreamt because she just started to say kind of words, and my dreams have been reflecting it. But in the dreams, it's not dreaming of her first word. In the dream, she can speak full sentences. And I'm in the dream going to my partner, Chloe, 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 she can speak, she can speak. And the first thing she said was, Daddy, can you turn the volume up? It's not loud enough. Now, I don't know what that was in reference to, but that was the first thing she said, which I think is quite nice symbolically. She was asking for an increase in volume, and an abundance of sound was the first kind of thing that this my inner Nova said to me. So I think it's quite a nice dream.
It's beautiful, and I believe her soul has been speaking to you before she was born and
Very
across
true.
time already. It'd be wonderful if her first word is not dada, but dream.
Wouldn't it be cool? Yeah, she's.
You coach that? That
Well, I've
would
been
be.
trying to get her to say Buddha a lot because when she comes in the morning, my Buddhist shrine is next to the bed, and it's the one thing that she's kind of not allowed to touch, but is covered in sparkly things and shiny things and bright colors. And every time she looks, I go, Buddha, Buddha. And she's kind of mouthed it. So maybe her first word will be Buddha. Who knows?
No, dream. Dream.
Okay, I'll go for dreams.
And have the camera running. I love that. Now, for listeners who are new to you, Charlie, there won't be many of them because you are so well known across the globe as lucid dreaming expert. Could you just share, who you are and why you fell in love with dream work, in particular lucid dreaming?
Yeah, so I write books about lucid dreaming and sleep, and then I travel around and run workshops and retreats based on those books, essentially. And I got into dream work really young. I mean, I remember my mum pretty much every morning, or to my recall, it was asking me what I dreamt about. And I can remember clearly being young enough to sometimes lie. I would just say stuff, but when I could remember, I would tell her the dreams that I was having. So I think I was keeping a kind of a verbal dream diary from quite a young age. But then when I was 12, before my 12th birthday, is the first time I know I was into lucid dreaming, because I asked my dad for this thing called a Nova Dreamer. Oh, weird, Nova Dreamer. I'm not sure of that. The Nova Dreamer is this sleep mask which has little flashing lights, and it recognizes REM, the movement of your eyes, and flashes red lights, and supposed to help give you lucid dreams. And I remember I was 11, just for my 12th birthday, and I found an advert for it in the gadget guide that used to come with the Sunday papers back in the 80s, I guess this was, and or 90s by then. And I was saying, Dad, Dad, I want this thing for my birthday. It helps me have those dreams that I can have. So I referenced them, and he's confirmed that that was a true memory. So I guess around 11, I was having lucid dreams and wanted to have more. Then I don't know what happens. I go back to being a kid, and then around 15, then I know it comes back again because I'm going into the library at school and finding a couple of books on lucid dreaming, and I read them and taught myself the techniques and started having some lucid dreams. But at 15, 16, I was just using it for, sex and skateboarding, literally. Those were the two main things I was doing in my lucid dreams. One, I was in state; the other, not so much. Yeah, was doing that, just messing around lucid dream for a couple of years. And then I got into Buddhism when I was about 18, really strongly into Buddhism. And there was this thing called dream yoga that people kept on mentioning when I talked about lucid dream, like dream yoga. And it turns out dream yoga is this ancient practice that goes back at least 1,000 years in Tibetan Buddhism, and perhaps even back to the time of Buddha himself, so 2,500 years, which uses lucid dreaming as a spiritual practice, as a way to explore how the mind can create reality, as a way to train for the moment of our death, and as a way very practically to continue your spiritual practice into your sleep. So you can kind of keep meditating through the sleep stages. So then when I encountered that at 18, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. This is way more than sex and skateboarding. This is a really, really powerful practice. Yeah. And then started working with some Buddhist teachers, end up living in a Buddhist center for 7 years, and then started teaching 17 years ago. Yeah.
Wow. Are you talking about Yoga Nidra here? Is that what you're talking
Yoga Nidra makes up a part of it. So
Yes.
kind of three main aspects of Tibetan dream yoga. One is lucid dreaming, but also it includes what in the West we call astral projection. So, the ability to actually kind of shift part of our consciousness out of our physical body. And the third one is the conscious sleeping practices, which, yes, in the Hindu tradition are called Yoga Nidra, in the Tibetan tradition, it's kind of called something else. But essentially, yes, they're similar practices.
Fantastic. Now, you have probably been asked this question so many times. I'm sure you have it. It's like a recurring dream. But can you explain lucid dreaming in simple terms and how it differs from dream decoding, which is more what I do?
Yeah, and it's so important to work with our definitions because otherwise we're confused from the start. A lucid dream is a dream in which you're actively aware of the fact you're dreaming as the dream is happening. So it's not just a really vivid dream, but I'm not surprised when people think it is just a vivid dream because of the term lucid. You know, the word lucid connotes clear seeing, clarity, something with lucidity. Actually, we should really call it conscious dreaming because the defining factor of a lucid dream is conscious awareness. So any listeners who've had a dream where you're in the dream and you have this aha moment of, oh, wow, I'm in a dream right now. Oh, wow, my body's asleep in bed. I'm inside a projection of my own mind. This is my dream. I can choose what to do. I can fly through the sky. I can change the narrative of the dream. I can call people in. I can do whatever I want. That's a lucid dream. And I think most people listening will go, oh, yeah, I've had one of those a few times. Maybe when you were a kid. Children seem to naturally lucid dream. In fact, one of the biggest studies they did was with English, British school children. And they found a prevalence of lucid dreaming between 50 and 100 spontaneous lucid dreams per year in the ages of 12 to 16. So it seems like lucid dreaming, being conscious within our dreams, is an inbuilt capacity that we forget how to do. And it reminds me of that quote from Picasso, every child is born an artist. The adult's job is to remember how. It seems like every child is also born a lucid dreamer. And the adult's job is again to remember how.
Now, this new year is all about intention setting, isn't it? We're in that time of year. So, how can people listening, who are listening to this conversation, obviously, how can lucid dreaming help them consciously shape the year ahead?
Well, I think the first thing I'd say is that intention setting is the core technique for lucid dreaming. You know, some people listening will have a lucid dream tonight simply because when they finish listening to the show, they go, oh, that's a really good idea. I really want to have one of those lucid conscious dream experiences. And then once you're in the lucid dream, we can use it for like a form of manifestation. In fact, in the Mexican tradition, which has a lot of lucid dreaming in the Toltec Mexica tradition, they believe that you will dream it before you live it. So they will use their lucid dreams to have experiences which plant a seed in the unconscious mind, which is then more likely to manifest in the conscious mind. And of course, there's neuroscience behind that. This is why visualizing the outcome of something in sports or some sort of, you know, successful outcome means that in the waking state, when we come out of the visualization, the brain is more likely to be attracted to familiarity, to a place it thinks it's been before. So what people could do is if they do have a kind of a new year, new me goal, like, I mean, let's use exercise for something as simple as that. If you could become lucid in your dreams, fully conscious in the dream, oh, what do I want to do in my lucid dream? Literally do exercise in your lucid dream. Start doing press-ups, start doing squats, start jogging around the lucid dream. I mean, what interesting science that shows not only does that actually help to strengthen the brain networks and physical somatic networks, which will allow you to do that activity more easily in the waking state, but also, I think from this point of view, you plant a seed. You know, if you do it first in the lucid dream, then in the waking state, you're one step closer. You've had that experience before. And not only that experience, you've had that experience in the depths of the unconscious mind. So when you step into that space, and manifest what you want to appear in your waking state, it's much closer.
Oh, I'm so excited because later in the show, shortly, in fact, we're going to have a recurring guest host, Kelly Sullivan Walden, who's pioneering dreamerfesting at the moment. And it's all that you're talking about. So I can't
Ah,
wait
there you
for
go.
the two of you to have
Perfect.
a chat later. There she is. You can't see her because you're listening, everyone, but we can see her. She just did a lovely wave. But Charlie, how can lucid dreaming be used as a tool for emotional healing or working through past trauma? Because I know that that's where your focus has been in recent years.
Yes, although I kind of got into lucid dreaming through, well, eventually through the spiritual side, you know, living in the Buddhist center and stuff like that. A lot of the work I do now, and especially the last couple of years, has been facilitating scientific study into lucid dreaming for trauma integration. And I've worked with IONS with that. I have a study coming up with Northwestern University in Chicago next year, working with colleagues at Tel Aviv. And it seems that lucid dreaming is one of the most powerful interventions for trauma integration and PTSD currently available. The studies we've done two of them so far. So one was a randomized control based on the pilot study, We took groups of people. Oh, I've just seen Garrett Yount has come on. He's literally.
Oh, that's stolen my thunder. I was going to ask you to predict after the break who I was going to bring in.
I'm literally in short now. I'm doing a
Man.
reality check. I was just about to, again, listeners, you can't see this,
It.
but I'm
Oh.
about to talk about a scientific study that we did, and the lead scientist on that
Going
study just appeared on
to
the Zoom screen right then.
test
Wow.
your going to test your precognition and say who's appearing after the break.
Yeah, this is brilliant. Oh, what a dream team we've got here. So
I
we did a study where we had people with high levels of trauma and PTSD, and we had 1 week to work with them to teach them lucid dreaming and especially how to lucid dream for trauma integration. So to face a fear, to work with their trauma, to transform a recurring nightmare. And at the end of the week, sorry, at the start of the week, they had their PTSD score taken, which sounds quite arbitrary, but it's essentially a medical level of how traumatized somebody is. And we checked it at the start of the week, then they had a week of lucid dream training, and then the end of the week, they had their PTSD score taken again to see whether they the level of trauma stayed the same, got worse, or got better. And we got some really remarkable results with, by the end of the study, the vast majority of people in the study, their PTSD score had actually dropped so low it was beneath the medical threshold. So we got some really powerful results. And that was in the pilot study. We then did a randomized control and managed to replicate results again. So it's not going to work for everybody. It's not a silver bullet. But for many people, lucid dreaming could be a very, very powerful integration for trauma and PTSD.
Well, hold that dream, everyone listening. We're going to go to an ad break now. We'll see you on the other side, where we will be joined by Dr. Garrett Yount, and we will reunite these two pioneering lucid dreaming experts. Don't go anywhere.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Love and laughter. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Kiss me quick.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. Let's pick up that dream. Today, I'm also joined by Dr. Garrett Yount, a molecular neurobiologist and senior scientist at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, IONS, whose research with Charlie Morley explores how lucid dreaming can support healing in war veterans. Garrett, welcome to UK Health Radio, and please share with us just how important your research with Charlie is, as I know he's far too modest to state that himself.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Teresa. Nice to see you again, Charlie. I think that the way to describe it, Charlie said it best in a webinar, the results are nuts. That was the scientific term that he came up with. And it is the results were nuts. And the significance is that, we took a scientific approach to look at this amazing workshop that Charlie had been running for years and seeing these healing results, primarily with combat vets originally, I think, Charlie, and then our study, we opened it up to sufferers of chronic PTSD from different origins, and then we applied this science to it to see if it's more than just wishful thinking, and so that's really the significance of it, is we applied very standard methods. And we got really whoppingly significant results in terms of reduced symptoms of PTSD, reduced nightmares, increased well-being. So it was a beautiful thing to witness, and the data are beautiful as well.
And it was just taking part in the study as well was helpful, wasn't it? And just focusing on dreams and the inner world that was also significantly boosted well-being.
Exactly. We don't know all of what did the trick. Just understanding that the possibility of healing through your dreams, witnessing other people talk about it and sharing. Yeah, that was one of the really cool results and surprising results that came out, is that folks in the study that didn't actually have a lucid dream during that week still were reporting these reductions in distress, increase in well-being. So the whole experience is really what did it, and lucidity wasn't actually necessary to get the benefits.
I mean, you can take this to so many other areas for well-being. I'd like to ask if you, either of you, have thought about lucid dreaming for helping people with dementia. I mean, carers connect in the dream state maybe with someone in dementia who has lost the ability to communicate. I talk for that from personal experience because it's well known my husband has severe Alzheimer's. So I've been investigating studies where meeting in the lucid dreaming state, the soul, so to have that conversation, how healing it is. I wondered if Ions would ever be interested in that research, because I know you're doing a study on dementia at the moment.
Yeah, we would be very interested in that. I've only heard of it related through Kai Dickens talking about nonverbal autistic children being able to communicate
Yes, telepathy tapes,
lucid
yeah.
dream, and so that's my only exposure to that type of thing. How about you, Charlie?
I mean, for someone who, nursed my mum through Alzheimer's towards death, and now I'm nursing my dad through Alzheimer's towards death too, I'd be very, very interested in it. I mean, I think it's a wider study, isn't it? It's looking at psi, it's looking at kind of psychic communication through the dream state. But I think the kind of motivation to psychically communicate with somebody who might be nonverbal or might have seem to have lost elements of their personality that can no longer be accessed in the waking state, that motivation towards communication would be much stronger than your average kind of psychic capacity test. Can we meet psychically through lucid dreaming? And of course, that motivation being so important for both the sender and receiver of the psychic cues or communication, then yeah, I think it'd be a great study. And I can't think of anyone better than Ions to do it. That's got Ions all over it, hasn't it?
Yeah, and the well-being actually to have that soul connection, which
Yeah.
we believe we are spiritual beings, is very important because when
Yeah.
someone has dementia, as you well know with both your parents, Charlie, it's the communication, isn't it? And to maybe communicate in the dream state. And UK Health Radio is a great place to talk about it because they have a wonderful show called The D Word discussing dementia as
Oh,
well.
that's cool.
I'm going to do a sh shout out about that. But Garrett and Charlie, looking ahead, what's the next steps for you two now? You are kind of the dream boy team. Where are you going to take this? You've got scientists and kind of
Every now and again, Garrett sends me an email saying there's a new study, there's a new paper that's been published based on the study. So he has a way of like getting all these different data points and getting a new study published with the based on the data that we created. So yeah, he's still, there's still papers coming out based on the research that we've done.
Garrett, can you explain, because a lot of people listening, these papers, why they're so important? Because for the layperson, it's like, well, what's all this about? Is it a book you're talking about, a magazine? Where is the study that the research that you did with Charlie published, and why is this so important?
So the studies are published in peer-reviewed biomedical journals. So this is kind of the currency of the scientific community. We put out the results, it goes through peer review. So the editors of the journal send it out to other experts or people that know, and they criticize, and there's a bunch of back and forth until it's just the right form, and said the right way and not overstating anything to communicate it to the larger community. So that's how science then progresses. Then other scientists can look at what we did. There's enough detail there to replicate it. So as Charlie said, we did a pilot study that was published that helped us get money to do the controlled study, the randomized controlled study, and that's published. So that's the first step, is to show that the great results experienced by the dreamers in the workshop is due to the workshop and not just due to being studied by scientists. And so that's like the first big step. And that's why it's very significant. It shows, yes, this workshop has got active stuff in it that's helpful. Then we did a little bit more piecing apart because we've got EEG experts here in the team at IONS, Arnaud Delorme and Cedric Canard. So they had some of the dreamers wear brain sensing headbands at home. And so we got one paper that looked at how the brain looks during lucid dreaming. So that's advancing the science of lucid dreaming in that way. We did another paper looking at the meditation brain state before and after the workshop to see if the lucid dream workshop could impact that. And then we did another study following another paper following up on the saliva, looking for biomarkers. That was actually a negative result. We weren't able to replicate our hypothesis with that. It made, it's definitely impacted by a lot of difficulty with the sample handling. We had some trouble, so we lost a lot of our saliva in the process. So these are all little takeoff points for follow-up studies in terms of look at the biomarkers again, look at more of the brain, what way brain waves are doing during all this. And then, Charlie, our original plan to do the gene expression, it's still a dream of mine to be able to go in and show that a dreaming event could regulate the gene expression in the cells of our body. So
Let me
that's
just
what
mention
we're
that one,
doing.
Garrett, because that was the first contact I had with Garrett, and I was like, this is a really cool idea. He wanted to see if we could get people to go into the lucid dream and eat food in the lucid dreams. So obviously, they're not eating real food, they're asleep in their bed, but in their dream, could they eat food? And could the action of eating food in a lucid dream have such a visceral effect on the body and the brain that when they woke up, they were satiated. We could see kind of changes in the biomarkers physically to show as if their body had actually eaten food. I was like, that's nuts. Like, because if we can do that, you're proving the mind-body connection in like a closed circuit. In a lucid dream, there is no other interference. You are asleep. You're dead to the world. So you've got a really good closed circuit to prove the kind of mind-body connection. And I think that's just such a cool study to do. Okay, guys, we're going to teach you a lucid dream, and then all you want to do in your lucid dream is like eat stuff, like eat the table, eat an apple, eat your arm, like whatever. Just find stuff to eat in a lucid dream, and we'll see if that can affect the kind of biomarkers of satiation in the waking state. So yeah, we're still up for that. And then also, Garrett, didn't we want to do one with lucid dream healing? If we could get like 100 people with tennis elbow, something with like really obvious kind of symptomology to it, and then in the lucid dream they could do kind of hands-on healing, kind of self-reiki in the lucid dream on their bad elbow, and then the waking state we could test and see whether reductions in inflammation in their tennis elbow and stuff like that. That would be another really exciting study to do, I think.
That's amazing. And I can't have Charlie Morley here without giving listeners of UK Health Radio a technique that maybe they could try tonight to maybe increase the chances of having a lucid dream.
Yeah, well, let's give the technique that was actually the core technique that we use in these scientific studies, which was dream planning. And as we talked about before with kind of motivation and manifestation, this was simply deciding what you want to do in your first or next lucid dream, but in great detail. So not just like learning all these lucid dream induction techniques, but then not having a good idea of why. So it's putting the why before the how. So I'd ask listeners to think about if they have a lucid dream tonight, what is the most important thing that they could do in their lucid dream? And that question, because some people kind of a better way to couch it is perhaps if you had an hour with the world's top hypnotherapist, you've been in a competition on UK Health Radio and you won an hour with the world's top hypnotherapist, what would you want to work on? If you had conscious access to your unconscious mind, what would be the most important thing? Could it be to heal a past trauma? Could it be to ask a big question? What career path should I take? Could it be to do a spiritual practice? Could it be to meet your inner child? Could it be to heal your tennis elbow? Think about a really strong and direct and particular intention that you would like to do in your lucid dream, and then get a piece of paper and write out your intention. So in my next lucid dream, I Become lucid, place my hands on my tennis, on my inflamed elbow. I call out, may my elbow be free of all non-beneficial inflammation and disease. I imagine colored light circling my elbow, and I wake up with an elbow completely free of inflammation. So write out like a hypnotic script exactly what you want to happen in the lucid dream. Step two, draw a picture of it happening. Doesn't have to be great. No one's going to see this picture apart from you, but make it visual because most people, our dreams are visual. So by making a picture, it's like, your inner child presenting your inner adult with a picture to stick on the refrigerator. It doesn't have to be a good picture, but it's about drawing it. So I draw a little stick man with his hand on one of the stick man elbows, and I do a little speech bubble. My arm is free of inflammation, blah, blah, blah. And then the third step I'd say is your sankalpa. So this is a Sanskrit word meaning will or intent. And that would be the kind of call to action that you do in the lucid dream. So in this case, it might be my elbow is free of inflammation. My elbow is free of inflammation. So inflammation. So write out the lucid dream you want to have, draw a picture of it happening, and then sum up the lucid dream in a statement of intent, which you will engage in the lucid dream. You go through that process, might take 10 or 15 minutes. Then with that piece of paper, you can, I did this recently, actually. Someone was saying that if you put it under your pillow, it really helps to give you lucid dreams. And I'm quite scientifically minded with this. So I said, oh, come on, it's not going to work. I did it and it really worked. I think it's because every time I moved on the pillow, I could hear the paper crunching. And that subliminally was reminding me, this is the lucid dream that I intend to have. This is the lucid dream I intend to have. So maybe that's something you could work into. I'm not sure, Garrett, what the scientific markers would be of such a extension of the technique, but we can try it.
Fascinating, and it's the perfect moment. I can see her there, the dreamifesting queen herself, Dr. Dream, best-selling author of Dreamifesting, Kelly Sullivan Walden. Please jump in because this is just your dream, isn't it? Watch out.
Yes, it is. I'm so excited to be here with all of you here on UK Health Radio, and I see Marianne Williamson in the queue. So hello, Marianne. Charlie, I have been loving. I love all your work. But I most recently have been diving in to do the shadow work.
Oh, brilliant.
And yes, and so this is one of your latest books,
Yeah, and this is my
and
kind of passion project. Yeah.
yeah, and I'm so excited about this. It feels like I think if everybody on the planet did this, there would be a changed world almost immediately. So say something about the different kinds of shadow. Most people think of the shadow when they're like, oh, I don't want to do that work. That sounds horrible. But you talk about the shadow that the dark shadow that lives in the basement and
And
the
the golden
golden
shadow lives in the
shadow
attic.
that lives in the attic. So
Yeah.
talk about that.
So, if we define the shadow as Jung did, which is any parts of the unconscious mind that we rejected, denied, or disowned, he referred to it as the dark side of the human psyche. But crucially, not dark meaning evil or malign, dark meaning yet to be illuminated. So simply the parts of our mind that we're yet to shine conscious light onto. And when you talk about the shadow, most people think about their dark shadow. They think of their prejudices, their traumas, their fears, their phobias, the things that they hide from themselves and others. But what we hide from ourselves and others is pure gold. And Jung said this, 90% of the shadow is pure gold. My favorite quote from Carl Jung, and yet the one you hardly ever see quoted on Instagram or on people's Facebook reels and stuff like that. So when we think about that which we hide, reject, and deny, so much of it is our hidden talents. I could ask listeners now, who here hides their spiritual side from their friends or family for fear of being labeled too woo-woo? And I think many hands would shoot up. And we think, well, why would we hide that? Such a beneficial part of ourselves, possibly the most beneficial part, and yet we hide it. Why? Same reason we hide our dark shadow, fear of rejection, fear of being shamed, fear of people thinking that we're more than we are. And in fact, we are more than we are, but so are you. The point is you are special, but so am I, and so is everybody. We all infinitely special. We need to normalize our specialness, right? And shadow work really does a lot of that.
Oh, and that's
Oh.
a perfect moment to bring in sensitive soul dream journalist and TV producer and another recurring dream on this show, Margarita Mitchell Pollock. Have you got anything you want to ask Charlie and Garrett?
Yes, oh, it's been fascinating. I've absolutely loved listening to you both. My ears really pricked up when you mentioned trauma and PTSD and studies that were done with, I think 85% of participants were helped with their PTSD after using your dream techniques. That's amazing. That's quicker than years of therapy and the kind of things that don't always help. Trauma is so intense. I feel like more needs to be done in that realm. Is more work being done? Are there more studies? I feel the book should be written on this, Charlie. Hint, hint. Maybe some dream journalscaping and trauma PTSD. I think there's a whole new kind of cognitive behavioral therapy there that hasn't been tapped into using dreams.
Yes, everything you said, and we're working on it. I mean, I think one thing that's happening in the next month or so is my TED talk that I did discussing this study, which got blacklisted by TED after a year of negotiation. We'll call it negotiation, not argument. They are relaunching that talk on their main channel, so it will not be blacklisted. It will be available to watch. We had to edit out like 30 seconds where apparently I say something I wasn't allowed to say, but apart from that, that will be relaunched. And we've just been discussing with Garrett more studies in the pipeline, and also with Northwestern University in Chicago. I have a study starting actually in a couple of months, working with trauma survivors from Tel Aviv, many of whom were in the October attacks from a few years ago. That I'm really, really excited by, because this will be a group who have, to my knowledge, not been exposed to lucid dreaming yet. There don't seem to be many therapists in Israel who are currently working with lucid dreaming. And we're putting together a series of videos now, which will be kind of watched alongside their trauma therapist as a way to bring lucid dreaming in a more integrated way into the therapeutic space, so that it's not a separate thing, it's part, it's another bow to these therapists. Another string to the therapist bow. And then, of course, I've got the Lucid Dream Facilitator training that runs again next year. That's a 100-hour training teaching qualified psychotherapists how to offer lucid dreaming to their clients. So yeah, we're getting there, but it's slow work. It's heavy work also. You know, lucid dreaming is non-invasive, non-medical, it's non-addictive, it's free, and you do it in your sleep. For that, I think that's a great reason to learn lucid dreaming. But I guess there are forces that are invested in, who knows?
I'm trying to say
Where I'm
that.
going with this. So it's slow work, but we're getting there. And I've got a able to work with brilliant scientists like Garrett, who make sure that what we're doing is not woo-woo. It's true
You've got
woo.
spiritual science on your side. Awesome. Now hold that dream, everyone. And Charlie and Garrett, time just bends, just like in a dream, talking to you both. You're going to have to come back because there's not nearly enough time to cover all the awesome work you're doing. So I'm going to make you both come back at some point when your schedule allows. But hold that dream, as I said, everyone, because on the other side, and I hope Garrett and Charlie that you'll stay and say hi as well to her. I'm thrilled to welcome to UK Health Radio one of the world's most spiritually influential women, Marianne Williamson, best-selling author, spiritual teacher, former presidential candidate, and peace advocate. She's here in the UK. It's a wonderful synchronicity as we start our new year to talk about her. And she's here on UK Health Radio to talk about her upcoming event at Alternatives Piccadilly in the UK tonight. So if you're listening to the show live, it's tonight. If you haven't got a ticket, get one. She's going to be talking about her new hope and vision for the world in 2026. This is a conversation on UK Health Radio you do not want to miss. So don't let this dream collapse, everyone. Stay lucid.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
For more than four decades, Marianne Williamson has been a leader of spiritually progressive circles. She is the author of 17 books, four of which have been number one New York Times bestsellers. A quote from the mega bestseller, A Return to Love: our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure, is considered an anthem for a contemporary generation of seekers. I love it because it's also in Coach Carter, the movie. I love that movie. But Marianne's other bestsellers have included A Woman's Worth, The Law of Divine Compensation, Tears to Triumph, The Gift of Change, Everyday Grace, and The Mystic Jesus, The Mind of Love. With her books and online classes, she has taught millions of people universal spiritual themes at the heart of all the great religions of the world. Marianne founded Project Angel Food, a non-profit organization that has delivered more than 20 million meals to ill and dying homebound patients in the Los Angeles area since 1989. The group was created to help people suffering from the ravages of HIV/AIDS. She has also worked throughout her career on poverty and hunger and racial reconciliation issues. She co-founded the Peace Alliance and supported the creation of a US Department of Peace. And tonight at Alternative, she'll be sharing her vision on spirituality, politics, and healing. Marianne, it's such an honor that you're here. Thank you for sparing time, because I'm guessing it must be super busy. But what can attendees expect from your talk tonight in Piccadilly Alternatives? And what message do you want most people to leave with?
First of all, I want to say thank you for having me. And I found the conversation that you were having before I came on, just, I love this shadow attic and basement, light and dark. There's so much there. And I think so much that pertains to women. So thank you for that. I just thought that was fascinating. I could have listened to that for a long time. I think that we're all part of a larger level of inquiry, whether we're talking about dreams, whether we're talking about Jung, whether we're talking about spirituality, whether we're talking about environmental or health issues. We're all part of this collective, what I hope is a redemptive and resurrective wave that's emerging on the planet. And I think that we would probably all agree, not a moment too soon. I think that all of us are looking for answers. You know, so much of what you were talking about even before I came on, people are getting individual answers and new concepts, new ideas here and there, but there's such a need, I think, given world conditions, to turn this into a larger social force. Right now, it's a social force that speaks to our own individual development, but I think we need to not be afraid of words like political, for instance, which simply means of the people. So what I'll be talking about tonight is the same kind of larger inquiry you're talking about here, everybody else is talking about, but just in the space of what does this mean for the evolution of the species? And in what way, you know, when you say that Carl Jung says that, you know, enlightenment is coming to consciousness of that which has been unconscious, and I think that we'd all agree that it is very detrimental to the life of the individual when we do not face our shadows. At this point, it is not only detrimental to the species, it is suicidal at this point that the species itself is not that I think the people of the world, I think this is important. I don't think, and I think probably all of us would agree to some extent that in our work with individuals, we find a lot of openness. I think the majority of people on the planet are sensing a new beginning. You know, we're living at a time when there are these two parallel universes, one crumbling and one struggling to be born. But at this point, the better angels of the individuals That form, I think, the majority of the planet are so suppressed. The emergence of that higher wisdom is so suppressed by economic and political and social systems. No one is trying to, in my experience anyway, given the kind of field of transformation that everybody here is talking about, nobody's trying to suppress you if you're just writing a book. Although, I don't know, Charlie was mentioning some things when you start talking about the medical, if you start challenging the pharmaceutical, et cetera, you will be suppressed. If you start suppress, if you just want to talk about these things, talk about individuals, sell books, have podcasts with that. But whenever you start talking about anything that would, by definition, challenge the profit-making capacity of huge corporate interests, and they're almost fascistic at this point, connection to governments, then they're coming after you. And I think that we need to be sophisticated enough and realistic enough to look at that. Also, I would like to say one thing about what you guys said. This would be to you, Charlie. I think we need to stop apologizing and say, oh, this isn't woo-woo. It sure the f is. And it's what we've been saying. And the fact that they now scientifically verified, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're talking about ancient wisdom. They're scientifically verifying. And the way that they would still like to suppress us is by, because you know, you can damage people's career by calling them woo-woo. So we're all on this, no, it's not woo-woo. And it's rather, you guys are just discovering what we've been talking about for thousands of years. So I hope we'll get to that because I, as someone who's really, that word is used to really. So we've got to stop. No, it's not woo-woo. What does that even mean?
I completely agree. I remember that viral moment when you were talking about the forces of light and darkness. It just grabbed the world. But do you think the world just wasn't ready? I mean, you alluded to this before. I feel in 2026 we're getting there.
Run
Patricia, I
again.
think what's and tragic about this moment is that the world has been ready. It's the economic and social and political systems, geopolitical systems that haven't been ready. People, if you talk to individuals, I don't care if you're talking to people in an African village or people in in Manchester or people in Milwaukee, individuals go, yeah, that makes sense. It's not that the people aren't ready. It's a system that recognizes this as a complete invalidation and undermining of its economic interests. And we need to be grown up enough to name that, I think. It's not convenient, you know. It's been really lovely for us because we're in this kind of bubble, but except people who do step out in the field of medicine and stuff, I think we need to recognize what's really going on here because we know it. We do know it.
I can see Charlie's bursting to ask you a question. Charlie, please do, because with
It
time it's
wasn't
so.
actually a question. I was just listening to Marianne then in my head I was going, she should run again. Like, listen to the
That's what we
fire,
were all thinking.
this fire in
You
her
know what? And
system.
that woo-woo thing is one of the reasons why I wouldn't be able to. That's my age as well. But they really damage. I mean, that's a level of character assassination. She's woo-woo, she's kooky. But, you know, they would have you think they're the sophisticated ones. No, they're the very unsophisticated ones. They're stuck in a 20th century paradigm, mechanistic, rationalistic, soulless. That is completely inadequate as a response to 21st century problems, which, if anything, were created by that perspective. So we should be apologizing to them.
No more apologies. No more apologies. Kelly, I'm going to bring you in. Fellow Americans, here we go.
Oh my goodness, I love this conversation so much, and the blend of dream work and shadow work and politics. It all goes together. It might seem like it doesn't, but it absolutely does. Marianne, I love all your books, and
Oh,
I'm
thank you.
loving your Substack. So if
Oh,
anybody
thank you
hasn't yet
very
subscribed to her Substack, it's fantastic. Your meditations, and you've been vocal about what's going on in Venezuela. I love that you quoted Shakespeare at the beginning of one of your recent posts, from Measure for Measure. And it says, "Oh, it is excellent to have a giant's strength, but it is tyrannous to use it like a giant." Whew, can you say, I've got some friends and neighbors and loved ones in Caracas, Venezuela right now, and my heart is just shaking and breaking. What can you say? What should we know about what's going on?
Well, first of all, I'd like to connect it back a little bit to what everybody was talking about before. This is America's shadow on full display.
This
Absolutely.
is America's unknown shadow.
In terms of Venezuela specifically, I don't know if you all know, you've been online. The United States is literally, as we speak, in the midst of seizing an oil tanker, a Venezuelan oil tanker. This is the level of irresponsibility here, the level of danger here. And I, you know, I have felt for a long time and have made this point for a long time that I think those of us who are part of the more integrative, transformational, spiritual, higher consciousness domain, I have felt for a long time, we are the last people who should be sitting out the great social, political, and economic questions. We should be the biggest grown-ups in the room. Because if you understand what change is a heart, you're the one who has a sense of how to change the world. And I think that to a certain extent, we have been enjoying ourselves so much that we have withheld our gifts. And I think right now, anything that anybody on this call can say in terms of the specific wisdom and the lane within that that you know something about, I would hope that our crowd starts speaking to what's happening. Even like Margarita, when you were talking, and you were talking about, one of you was talking, Charlie, you were talking about how Israelis are traumatized after November 7th, and I think October 7th, I think one of the interesting things about, related to what we're saying is that you're not just talking about individuals who traumatize, the whole country is traumatized. And how these same psychological dynamics prevail within a collective. Americans are traumatized. I think any conscious citizen in Western democracy is traumatized watching what's happening right now. Everything you and I have been brought up to think we could depend on, our parents, grandparents, they had handled it after World War II. Thank you very much. Now we can coast. We are recognizing, no, you can't. And I don't know how it is in England, but I know in the United States, people are almost paralyzed. People can't even believe this is happening. And a lot of people just want to go to bed and put the blankets over our head and just tell me when it's over. Well, it's not going to be over in our lifetime if we don't stop it now. So I'm interested in how do the things that all of us represent in terms of our work, how does this relate to what is needed now, which is an immediate, and I do mean immediate interruption of a decline, inertia. I used to think inertia meant the tendency of the object to remain stationary. It doesn't actually. It means the tendency of the object to move in whatever direction it's been moving. At this point, we're like this. We're like this. Even I heard the British Prime Minister yesterday, and I understand. I understand if they take on Trump, they're Trump whisperers, these European leaders, and I understand they need to, because I understand their point, which is if we get tough with him, he'll punish us. He could punish NATO. I understand. But I'm saying at this point, everybody's a magical thinker. Like, for instance, when Starmer said yesterday, well, the most important thing to be thinking about in Venezuela is getting back to democracy as soon as possible. Excuse me, Rubio never mentioned democracy. Trump never mentioned democracy. These guys have no interest in democracy. And I think people just don't know what to do. So I believe, and I think that this goes to your question, forgive me for taking so long to get to it, Kelly, we have to, at least I feel from a faith, from a spiritual perspective, the idea is that a divine intercession, the Course in Miracles calls a miracle, a divine intercession from a thought system beyond our own. That, and to me, that's what the Star of Bethlehem represents, that it's a very dark sky, but there is a point of possibility. That just like in the yin and yang, where the black is, there's a little point of white, and where the white is, a little point of darkness. So the light can always turn into darkness, the darkness can always turn into light. So we have to stand for that. There's another way. And I think in all of our work, that is what we stand for. The Course in Miracles says salvation begins when you consider the possibility there might be another way. And so to me, that's what the conversation needs to be the old way of thinking, as Einstein said, the same thinking that got us here will not solve these problems. And there's another way of looking at all this, and that's that miracles are possible, breakthroughs are possible, even 5 minutes before the crash, as it were. And yeah. I think that we should take this very seriously, because these guys, now you're messing with China, Russia, Iran, the United States.
Yeah, it's Margarita, do you want to come in? Because Margarita, you work with the media, you're a journalist with the Times and everything, how the media is presenting all this over here. Would you like to talk to Marianne about that?
Yes, I'm just in awe, Marianne, to be honest. I'm completely in awe. I'm sitting here, I could listen to you for hours. I'll be quick, I'm aware of time. I was just thinking there what you said about, it feels like you were mentioning about us, we're kind of in survivor mode. We've gone into the freeze response and we're stuck there. And I love what you say here in your alternatives talk, the beginning of a new year is a vortex of power if we allow it to be. So I just wondered, in these last few minutes, it's Blue Monday here in the UK in a few weeks, which is apparently the saddest, bluest day of the year. People have overspent at Christmas. They're despairing of the political climate. They're worried about everything from the cost of living to food. How do we step, if we're in survival mode, if we're in that freeze response and we're kind of shutting down and feeling hopeless, how do we step out of that, even a tiny bit, a foot or a toe out of that feeling, to kind of get a bit unstuck as the new year comes in, or the new year's here already?
You know, when your car, the battery dies and you jumpstart it, we've got to jumpstart the light. Mm-hmm. We've got to jumpstart the light. And right now, with all due respect, we need to talk a little bit less about trauma. Right. We're all traumatized. OK. Mm-hmm. Churchill had his really rough days. Franklin Roosevelt had his really rough days. We're all wounded. We get that. But right now, we must be the bringers of that light. You know, it's like when you were talking about owning the shadow. I agree with what Charlie said. Yeah, you have to own your darkness. You also have to own your light. Mm-hmm. We right now have to say we are fierce bringers of the dawn. And no one of us can do it. No hundred of us can do it. This has got to be a collective. So each of us, I think of us as immune cells. We've got to be immune cells in the system of a wounded humanity. And the Course in Miracles says God has an answer to every problem the moment the problem occurs. The only way we won't make it is if we have a compromised immune system. And we'll only have a compromised immune system is if each of us fail to activate. And it's kind of like, I think what Charlie was saying before, we all have, the Course in Miracles says, those of you on the planet who have achieved the most have achieved a fraction of what everyone is capable of. And we hide it, right? That's one of those shadows. Oh, I'm not brilliant. Please forgive me for acting like I am, right? Especially an issue for women. I think you guys have no idea how hard that is for us because of the disapproval that will come at us, etc. Now we have to just own it and work together. And I think of myself, sometimes I'll look at some horrible video of what's happening, let's say the ICE raids in the United States, and I'll be so overwhelmed. And then I think, Marianne, millions of people feel as you do. Mm-hmm. You're not alone. And there's a little, I imagine in my mind, a little silver filament that connects all of us who are doing this. And every cell is directed, you to the pancreas, you to the brain. And, you know, I was once wounded and I watched how red my hands got where these gashes were. And I said to this doctor, look at all those red blood cells. And he laughed. He said, they're white blood cells. But I get your point. Because those cells were just, you will be told to do a podcast. You will be told to do a book. You'll be told to do a study. You'll be told to do,
we're out of time. I just wish there was more time. We have to meet in our dreams, everyone. But don't stay trapped in your head.
We'll come tonight or do the live stream.
Tonight, we'll be talking more. Message is take action, everyone. Not all trapped in your head. A dream's has no power unless you give it power. Marianne Williamson, Charlie Morey, Garrett Yount, Kelly and Margarita, thank you from my heart and soul.